feel like the time has been well spent with very good admonition and exhortation to righteousness, and I'll only take just a moment of time here in concluding the service tonight. I had on my mind a thought before coming to church that really came to my mind doing visitation this afternoon as we were going from home to home and places where people were sick, and it was reinforced tonight as Brother Little was speaking to us from the portions of the scriptures that he made reference to, and then he went to the 12th chapter of Romans, in which he brought out to us very vividly the expression "continuing instant in prayer," distributing to the necessity of the saints. I would like to look at this for just a moment with you as we go back to the 6th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We find that there was the great need that existed in the church, where the number of disciples had greatly multiplied. Many people had come into the church. In fact, shortly after the institution of the church, or you might say the manifestation of it under the Holy Spirit, that we have the addition, of course there was 120 already a member of it, the disciples that had followed Christ, and then there were 3,000 souls added right after Pentecost during that time, and then sometime later some 5,000 were added. And so this one church was operating. This was before several of the other churches were instituted or constituted, but the mother church in Jerusalem. And so the number of disciples were multiplying, and there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now this afternoon, this came to me with a lot of force. Now I know that it is one of my, if God called me to preach, brethren, the ministry of the word, to preach the gospel to men in this world is of grave importance. Certainly, nothing could be overemphasized any more than the great value there is in proclaiming the gospel of Christ among men, to preach the word of God to the comfort and edification of the family of God in this world. That is an important factor. It's feeding the sheep. It is taking the word of God and distributing it among the saints. And oh, how we need that. How we need preaching. There can never be another gospel convert without the preaching of the gospel. There can never be another addition to the gospel church without the preaching of the word. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. By reason of the strength of the ox, there is much increase. It is highly important that we have the preaching of the gospel. Paul says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. For I have begotten you by the gospel through Jesus Christ. That's not borning you again of the Spirit. That's the Spirit's work. But there's a begetting of men to truth in the world. And brethren, you will never know that truth unless you're brought in contact with the gospel of the Son of God. The 10th chapter of Romans says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except to be sent? So I'm showing you it is highly important to have the preaching of the word. Jesus said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. But what I'm trying to point to this, sometimes, brethren, that's about all we emphasize, is the importance of preaching of the word. And that is certainly true. But here it says, the apostle says, brethren, that if you look after this business, you see, in the early church, the economy and the situation was entirely different maybe than what it is today in many ways, because the early church had a great need to support. The early church actually, brethren, did a lot of things that the federal government is doing today and the state government is doing for our older and afflicted people. The welfare program and so forth. But you see, in the gospel church, there was a need that those who qualified for financial aid, if they were widows indeed, they were to be completely taken care of by the church. Food, raiment, and shelter to be given to those who were deserving. And not only the widows indeed, but even those of the poor of the church, the underprivileged, and those who could not, had met with some type of disaster, or come down in life to where they were not able to take care of themselves, the church had a responsibility to see that their needs were met. Even if it was on a temporary basis, a distribution might be made to every man according to his needs. Not only was that table of the poor and the table of the widow to be served, but the table of the ministry, that the men of God may give themselves fully to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And that's what we need. And I want to say this tonight, brother. I know the deacons of this church are not perfect, but I want to say I commend them, beloved brother. I'm not saying this to your face. I've said it to your back. I commend these dear brethren because they have a concern. Now you may not think these brethren are doing a good job. Now, I'm not saying they're doing perfect. And I'm not saying you're doing perfect. But I'll tell you, if you go to some places I've been, my friend, where men won't even admonish the church or have anything at all to do to encourage you towards financial care of the church, won't back the pastor up in his effort to try to preach what the Bible says, you got a problem. And I say, we don't have that problem here. And thank God for that. And so, I want to rejoice in that. And so in the matters of dealing with the finance of the church, this is not the preacher's job to be administrator over the finance of the church. That's what these men appointed for, over this business, not the business of the church. Now, the business of the church belongs to every one of you. Now, the business of the church means that you're to sit in judgment. You sit in judgment over every individual that comes to be a member of this church. That's not just appointed to the deacons. That's the business of the church. All matters concerning whether or not a man is living right or wrong, or whether a man is even preaching error or truth, is the business of the whole church. Every brother and sister in the church has the right to sit in judgment on these things. Know ye not that saints shall judge angels? That's the business of the church. But this business was the distribution of the finance of the church. That was to be handled by the deacons. He said, well, I won't give my money to the deacon because I'm afraid he ain't going to handle it right. And he won't ever see that this or that is taken care of. Well, brother, let me tell you something. If you've got a deacon that you don't have any confidence in, you can't trust with what he's doing, then you got the wrong man in the office. You better de-deaconize him. And you better set him down and put somebody in there. You can. These men ought to be before proven as being of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. If they don't have the wisdom to do it, if they don't have the Spirit to do it, and if they're not of honest report, you certainly don't need them in there. But that's not my subject tonight. The subject I'm trying to get to is here. If these brethren are functioning right, and the church is functioning right, and then the ministry is functioning as it ought to, then it is we might give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, you know, this afternoon, when I was going from home to home, brethren, home to home. Now, I've heard some preachers indicate, well, a preacher doesn't have any responsibility but to get up at church and preach. And all this visiting and all this is just not his duty. Well, listen, I know it's the duty of every member to visit sick people and do these things. I know that. But I want you to know something, beloved brethren. According to this book here, there is a respective work of a pastor that no member of a congregation can ever fill that post. No one in the church can do. Oh, brother Gene Nobles today was telling me as though we were visiting in their home, and brother, they're in a pitiful condition. Oh, they're deteriorating their minds and their bodies. You can see death written on their faces almost. But brother Gene says, brother Doherty says, you know, the other when you visited me down at the hospital not so long ago, and you prayed in the room, there was an old colored man over there that you couldn't see. He says, after you left, he says, brother, you're going to get back. He says, the way that man prayed, you're going to get better. Well, I wasn't an old Roberts going there laying my hands on him. No, I tell you, I'm not one of these fellows that say I can walk in the room, lay my hands, pray for you, and the way some of these fellows talk, if you're 90 years old and you believe strong enough and I got enough power, I can lay my hands on you and you get to be a 16-year-old again. Well, I don't believe in such as that. No, if you're old, you're going to stay old. And if afflicted, you may stay afflicted to some degree in the world. But dear beloved brethren, I believe there's power in prayer. I believe a need is in prayer. And many times, even the sick are raised up, even physically, through the great power of prayer. I'm not going to give that all to the Armenian world out here or the so-called faith healers. I believe in prayer. I believe in praying over the sick. I believe in praying for the doctors. I believe in praying for the efforts or the power of the medicine that it may have effect. And not only that, my friends, we need to pray a lot of times just for our spirit to be revived. Let me tell you, the spirit helpeth our infirmities. And many times when you have prayed for those who are cast down, I've had them recently. I went in to visit somebody and they called on me to pray. Says, you know, that was better than the medicine. That was better than the medicine. And so, you know, we can get our hearts lifted up. We can stand to the affliction better, can't we? If we feel like this prayer have interceded. Now what I'm pointing out here tonight is this. That we may give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Brethren, we've got a responsibility as ministers. And did you not know? Now we try to visit you as we think about you and we hear about you being sick. But you know you got a duty. Let them that are sick call for the elders of the church. You've got a responsibility. Now, years ago, when you got sick physically, you called the doctor and he came. But nowadays, you can't get a doctor to come to see you. You got to get, if you get sick enough, they got to carry you to the emergency room. Or else you got to be at least able to make it to the doctor. Hardly ever a doctor will come to see you. There may still be a few rural doctors to do that. But I believe, brethren, as ministers of the gospel, we ought to keep ourselves available. Now, most of us work. Most of us do too much work. Too much that we ought not to be doing. But every God-called minister ought to be available. We ought to be a phone call away from the needs of any of God's little children, that you feel burdened, if you feel cast down, if you feel real need, or if there's tragedy comes in your family, in your home, if there's a problem, my friend, I don't mean every little thing, every time you catch a cold or stub your toe or something like that. I had, when I first started preaching, there was a good sister called me up and said, come over and take my clothes to the laundry. I got that kind of invitation. Yes, sirree. And friend, I don't mean that kind of a laundry service. I don't mean that we're out here to serve that kind of a cause here in the world. Now, if somebody needed me for that, and it was a real need, and somebody really needed, I'm not beyond that. I'd make a delivery boy if it's in the right spirit and the right attitude. But brethren, there's some great needs in this world and great causes. And God-called ministers should be in position to do this and to serve, that they may give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. There's our fulfillment. Those two things, given to prayer. And brother, I want to say this. This afternoon, as we visited in the different homes, of those, when I went to see Sister Runette Howland, well, I visited almost every day in the hospital, and I saw each day of improvement and things like that. But visited down in their home this afternoon and had prayer. Well, it wasn't so much altogether just for Sister Runette, which she greatly rejoiced. But when I got through praying, Brother Nathan Howell, who's not a member. Brother, he just came up and just grabbed me around the neck and began to weep. He said, I wouldn't take nothing in the world. Brethren, it's important for us to pray for people. It's important for us to spend some of our life in helping God's little poor in this world. Whether they're members of the church or not, they may need us. And we need to be there to serve and help support this great cause of Christ in the world. And I thank you, and God bless you.